is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. This is going to be a special broadcast. We're going to have as our guest for the program Dr. James Dobson, who is chairman of Focus on the Family, one of the most respected names in America, and certainly someone we're honored to have today. It's going to be an important conversation. Just 2 days away is Justice Sunday, which is going to be an event that begins right here in Louisville, Kentucky, and by simulcast will be going into churches all over this country, and we now know is also going to be covered by other main media. We've got them flying in from all over. It's going to be a big event. Why? Because Christians need to pay particular attention to the third branch of government, to the judiciary, and to our responsibility as Christian citizens to be educated and engaged on this issue. More about that later, and we'll look forward to having a conversation with Dr. James Dobson, and you'll have an opportunity to call. The phone number, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. There may be a question you've always wanted to ask Dr. Dobson, but we're talking about the issue of the judges, and that's going to be our focus in just a few moments. Well, happy Earth Day to you all. It may be. In fact, I kind of hope it is the fact that most of you don't know it is Earth Day. That's one of those 60s-like holidays that got put on the calendar by social activists, and some of the predictable things are happening all over America. People are they're holding protests and trying to raise environmental consciousness. Well, there's a news story by CBS that's out about Kelly Daly. It says two of her pet peeves are global warming and cell phones that always seem to run out of juice. And so for Earth Day, she's showing a new form of fashion, and it is a large bag with a flexible solar panel sewn into its back. This way, the accountant can charge her phone, her laptop, and her iPod as she walks to work. And she figures that by using sun power and carrying this backpack with a flexible solar panel, she can keep at least a pound of carbon dioxide from wafting into the atmosphere each year. She says, "I'm my own power plant." Well, blessings to her. That's Kelly Daly. I don't know how many Americans are going to be ready to walk around with a backpack and a solar panel. But there is a good time for us on an occasion like this to be reminded of how we as Christians should think about the environment. Because for too long, we have simply left this to people who are naturalists and materialists in worldview, and we haven't been giving proper attention to how we as Christians should think this through. Now, a couple of guidelines here. We begin with the fact that God made the world, that God is the creator of all, and that because he made it and declared it to be good, it is good. And we also begin with the principle that we were given a responsibility as stewards of this created order, this beautiful garden that God has given us. And just as if we were borrowing a garden from someone, it would be our responsibility to return it in better shape than it was entrusted to us. And so then there's a third principle, and that is that we were given the world in order to use it. Central to this worldview is the understanding that human beings alone are made in the image of God, and we are given the responsibility of stewardship, yes, but also of dominion over the earth. That lordship over the earth is very, very important. We exercise an authority over the earth. We can move earth. We can build buildings. We can dam rivers. And yes, we till the ground. We eat its produce. We raise herds, and we eat their meat. We drink their milk. And that's where the real conflict comes, because the radical environmental movement and its allies in the radical animal rights movement, they really believe the human beings are the problem. Now, what do we think about all this? Well, this is one of those areas in which informed Christians may disagree on particular issues and policies. But we ought to find agreement on the fact that our responsibility is not to the earth, but to the Creator. And the problem with a lot of this environmentalism, and certainly the ideologies behind it, is that it is attentive only to the concerns of the earth, as if the earth is an end in itself. Sometimes even personalized as Mother Nature. Well, there is no Mother Nature. There's just the one and true living God who created the worlds by the power of his word and created us in his image and will hold us accountable. So we should take care of the world. We should protect the world and use the world and find delight in the world and know that we'll give an answer for how we used all these things. Well, what about a school teacher that has decided to edit the Pledge of Allegiance? This took place in the Denver area, where a Jefferson County public school teacher decided to teach her students an edited version of the Pledge of Allegiance. This is Everett Middle School in Wheat Ridge, Colorado. Eighth grade counselor Margot Lucero, filling in for absent principal Kathleen Norton, changed a portion of the pledge from one nation under God to one nation under your belief system. She did this over the school's public address system on Wednesday morning. Well, some were displeased with this. Vincent Pulciani Johnson, a seventh grader, told his parents they took it up with the school. His mother, Christina, said he was confused. He said, "I just couldn't understand what she was saying. I don't know why she did say it." More conversation took place. This counselor was apologetic. She said, "Yes, I said that because I believe there should be separation between church and school. I believe that everybody should have their own beliefs, and we shouldn't have to say under God." Well, I tell you what, this is the ultimate example of taking things into your own hands when a school counselor, standing in for the principal, decides that she can act on behalf of Congress and the American people to rewrite the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, this is just an isolated incident, and my guess is that this counselor, Margot Lucero, has probably received a ton of grief and is going to get a huge amount of outrage, and she's probably going to be disciplined, I can hope so, by the school system, and she may have learned a lesson. But it is informative, is it not, that someone with her worldview was put in this position and that she felt perfectly free to teach these children? I mean, that's the big issue. Not even just to say these words for herself, but to lead children to say the words, "One nation under your belief system." Now, in the school where I grew up, that would be known as nonsense. And I think it would be that way to most American parents. Remember that there are those who seriously want to take out the words "under God" out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, I come back again and again to saying, as an evangelical theologian, I don't believe that the words "under God" in the Pledge of Allegiance represent a wonderful and substantial confession of faith. But the drive to take them out, and that's the crucial insight here, the drive to take them out is evidence of a pervasive and radical secularism that cannot even abide the name of God being mentioned in something like the Pledge of Allegiance. You can look for it yourself at the website for the Denver Post. We'll be following it to see what happens next. The Church of England's been in trouble for a long time. The entire Anglican Communion, we've been tracking on this program what's been going on in terms of the split, the divide over homosexuality, same-sex marriage, blessings for same-sex marriage, and all the rest. And, of course, with one of the member bodies of the Anglican Communion, the Episcopal Church USA, right here in America, ordaining an openly gay man to be a bishop of the church. But other little issues have come along, though they're not really little, but they in themselves represent something of a change in the Church of England. One of them was that the Prime Minister of Great Britain went to the Pope's funeral. Now, that had never happened before. That the head of government, and that's what Prime Minister Tony Blair is, he's not head of state, that's the Queen, but he is head of government, that he would attend this funeral. And Peter Oborne of the London Spectator said that this is an absolute disaster. He said it's a question of manners. It's sheer rudeness for anyone to back out of responsibilities that Blair had in order to go to attend this funeral. Now, I'm not a British citizen. I don't know if that's the big issue or not. But I can tell you that a series of things have awakened people in Great Britain to the fact that their nation is now overwhelmingly secular and the Church of England is quickly working its way into being anything but a church. And another piece of evidence for that was the marriage of Prince Charles and Camilla Parker Bowles in recent days, just earlier this month, put off one day, you'll remember, because of the Pope's funeral. But listen to this, and remember that this in itself, when the church blessed a wedding after the ceremony had taken place and played this little dance by which it wouldn't allow the wedding to take place in a church, but it would allow a ceremony thereafter to celebrate it. It's not as if people didn't understand what was going on. In the Washington Post, Roxanne Roberts said this about Camilla Parker Bowles, and I think this is very illuminating. She said that for many women, Camilla Parker Bowles has become the patron saint of mistresses everywhere. And this is a serious story. In a serious newspaper, the Washington Post, saying that a mere 2% of the world's mistresses ever marry the man with whom they carry on. Usually they're dumped when their paramour tires of them, and they're left to face the world's scorn. Now, why would I bring that up today? Because so often I talk about the inversion of values and what's happening in this great social, sexual, and moral revolution that we've been experiencing in Western democracies, especially in the United States, and in an even more accelerated way in Great Britain and in Western Europe. But when you have people openly talking about the church blessing something in which the patron saint of mistresses is married to the future supreme governor of this church, you recognize that there's something hollow at the very center here. And it's not just the Church of England, it's many denominations that are abandoning their convictions and rewriting their confessions and adjusting themselves to the morality of the day, and that means accepting homosexuality, same-sex marriage, and all that goes with it. And before that, came accepting divorce and came accepting adultery and came accepting, well, you name it. The hermeneutic involved here, that is the method of interpreting scripture that allows them to get around these issues. Well, I've tracked this with you before. It has everything to do with matters of gender, matters of marriage, matters of morality. And eventually you end up with the patron saint of mistresses getting married and being blessed by the church. Other news stories coming out tell us that Great Britain and Europe are becoming so secularized that within 70 years there may be a Muslim majority. And evidence like this tells us just why that may be the case. We'll be back to talk about Justice Sunday. Just 48 hours away, a big event. We're going to have Dr. James Dobson as our guest coming right out of this break. You're not going to miss that conversation. The phone number for a call is 877-893-8255. This is the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. You know, Justice Sunday is just a matter of hours away. I am pleased by all the attention I'm getting. I was just doing an interview in San Antonio, Texas, where a lot of people will be headed to some churches there to participate in this. And I just got back from the studio of MSNBC and the Hardball Program with Chris Matthews. Fascinating conversation there. We'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. But right now, we have the incredible privilege of having as our guest Dr. James Dobson, who is chairman and founder of Focus on the Family, one of the most recognized and respected names in the entire Christian world. Dr. Dobson, welcome.
Dr. Mueller, thank you for having me on. And let me just say how much I appreciate all that you're doing to help your listeners and others understand the issues, the issue of judicial tyranny especially, but the things that you were talking about in your monologue just a couple of minutes ago. That was outstanding, and I stand shoulder to shoulder with you.
Well, thank you. That's a great privilege. And we get the honor of working together. I'm honored to be a board member of Focus on the Family, and so we can just talk on a first-name basis here and really help our listeners to understand what's at stake. Jim, when you started this this conversation about federal judges and on your radio program and then with Tony Perkins looking at Justice Sunday, what was really animating, driving your concern here?
Well, it goes back a long ways. Of course, I've been agitated at the Supreme Court and other courts since 1973 or even before in the anti-democratic way they go about making the great moral decisions of our times. Our elected representatives don't make those decisions. We certainly don't make them for ourselves, and when we do, we often get overturned by the court. The president does not make those decisions. All of them eventually come down to the court, which has set themselves up as the final arbiter of all great moral and constitutional issues today. And that's not what the Founding Fathers had in mind. They call it a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And it is hardly that when we don't have a stake or a say in any of those great issues. And now with the minority in the Senate blocking the results of the elections that put our representatives in power, then you have absolutely no influence on who's on that court, and it becomes an oligarchy.
Well, that's just about what we've got. I think it might help our listeners just to kind of recite some of the atrocities we're talking about here. You know, you think about, and you mentioned 1973, the Roe v. Wade decision, in which a majority of justices on the U.S. Supreme Court just invented a right to abortion, all the way to 2003, the Lawrence v. Texas decision, in which another, by the way, a similar majority on the court, five justices just decided that we can no longer have laws in this country against sodomy. Justice Scalia said in his dissent, that means the effective end of all morals legislation in America. James Dobson and Focus on the Family are headquartered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And, you know, the people of Colorado overwhelmingly adopted what was known as Amendment 2 a few years ago that had to do with policies preventing any special favors or special laws for groups based on sexual orientation. And, Jim, wasn't it a federal court that struck that down?
Well, yes, and ultimately the Supreme Court overturned it. And Justice Kennedy, whom I consider to be one of the most dangerous men in America, if not the most dangerous man, chastised the people of Colorado and essentially said those that voted for Amendment 2 were bigots. So here again, you see, it's not a government with an expression of the people determining what they want, as the founding fathers intended, but you've got this little cabal, this little oligarchy, which means government by the few, that are making these decisions for us and then overturning the decisions that we make. Look out in California, where just in the last 6 weeks or so, a judge threw out the referendum that said marriage is to be defined as one man and one woman. That passed 61% to 39% in one of the most liberal states in the country, and a judge said that's not rational. Imagine the arrogance of this guy saying, sorry, that's not rational.
Yeah,
that's what we're dealing with today and why we absolutely must deal with it.
That particular decision handed down by that judge is to me just a monumental example of what we mean when we use the phrase an activist judge or an activist judiciary. He just imposed his own moral judgment, regardless of the Constitution. Isn't that the real problem here?
It is. There was another decision recently in western Pennsylvania that just takes my breath away. I'm blocking on his name for the moment, but it may come up. He was the judge in the government's case of obscenity against a pornographer, a hardcore pornographer, who had produced materials, and your audience is going to have to pardon me for being a little bit graphic. I hope children are not listening, but these materials showed rape, the slashing of the throats of women, bodily elimination on women, and death and killing. And he threw the case out, not because it was not obscene, because no one could question that. He threw the case out because you cannot base decisions on moral law. That's where we're headed, Al, and that's why this is so threatening.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we had the case of the internet child pornography and simulated child pornography that the Supreme Court just disposed of. And it's just a fight to get anything done, because here's the reality. I think a lot of people don't recognize this. The third branch of government was intended to show a long time, and although the judiciary was supreme. Judicial supremacy was a word that was actually used in the New York Times to celebrate the misbehavior of these judges.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to believe that Americans have put up with this for so long.
Most people have not read the Constitution and have no idea that the concept of checks and balances was very carefully put into place by the founding fathers to keep one branch of government from dominating the other two. And there is a tendency for mankind to grab for power. That's the way we are made in our sinful state. And so the Congress was given the responsibility to check the courts. Well, that checks and balances system works beautifully with regard to the executive and the legislative branches, because one vetoes the other and the other one overrides the veto, and they're checking each other. But neither of them have the guts or the gall to check the courts. And every time they try, the liberal media, which wants the courts to remain as radical as it is because it gets done what can't be done legislatively, they stand up and scream, the independence of the judiciary. Well, that does not mean that they stand above all accountability. But these guys are appointed for life. They are imperious, they are arrogant, they are not elected by the people, and the people can't get their hands on them.
Yes, and you know, beyond all that, we face the reality that Americans elected George W. Bush, President of the United States, elected him for a clear second term, and now he's being thwarted in his effort to fulfill his own constitutional responsibility because the Senate, a bare minority in the Senate, is blocking these candidates and getting an up or down vote. We'll be right back with more discussion with Dr. James Dobson. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. You know, sometimes you really learn you're doing the right thing when all the right people are upset about it. And that appears to be the case with Justice Sunday. You can just look across it. I have television monitors in front of me right now, and there are liberal groups just complaining about the event and trying to categorize it and put it in a light as if this is some kind of imposition of evangelical Christianity in America and all the rest, when in reality, it's a very different picture. Now, last night, Dr. Dobson, our guest today, was on the Fox News program Hannity and Combs, and he was asked a question about me, of all things, and had to do with a letter that had been sent to him, a public letter, which is one of those letters that's supposed to mean something in the press rather than something personal, a letter from U.S. Senator Ken Salazar of Colorado. And I want us to hear this. It's a little long, but with Dr. Dobson here with us today, I want us to hear what's going on here. This last night, Alan Cole speaking to Dr. James Dobson.
You're participating in an event this Sunday, Justice Sunday, and among those there will be Dr. Al Mohler of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, who said a few years ago as an evangelical, "I believe that the Roman Catholic Church is a false church, it teaches a false gospel, and the Pope himself holds a false and unbiblical office." Are you concerned about the anti-Catholicism of some of the people you're participating with to fight the filibuster?
Well, Alan, that way you set that up really represents an effort to change the subject. This is not about Catholicism. I did a program last Friday on the Pope, and Dr. Mohler was my guest along with two Catholic priests, and we talked about the wonderful things that this Pope John Paul did. And so this is not about Catholicism. This is about an effort in the Senate to block people of faith and also people with conservative views. It's not just those with Christian views, and to deny them an up or down vote. That's what it's about. It's not a fight against Catholicism.
But you're accusing certain senators of being anti-Catholic and suggesting that the sole reason, or at least among the reasons they oppose these judges, is anti-Catholicism. Dr. Mohler made a vehemently anti-Catholic statement a number of years ago, and he's part of this effort.
Well, first of all, he did not make a vehement anti-Catholic statement. He's a Southern Baptist, for Pete's sake. You expect a Southern Baptist to say that he does not honor the Pope in the same way that the Catholics do. It's a different theology. Is that not all right? That's not an attack on the Catholic Church. And Senator Salazar is the one that's trying to change the subject, because what he did when he ran here in Colorado was promise that he would allow an up or down vote. He would vote to allow an up or down vote on all of the judges. As soon as he got in office, he reneged on that. And then now he's trying to say that it's something else, anti-Catholicism.
Jim Dobson, I just rejoiced in that. I have to tell you that that to me was a magnificent exchange on that program. What was the real agenda of Senator Salazar in this?
Senator Salazar did renege on his promise to vote for an up or down vote on these judges. He made it very clear that's what he would do. And as soon as he got in office, he just turned around and went the other way. And so we ran ads here in Colorado to tell people about that. And so what does Salazar do? He doesn't come back and discuss the issue of judicial tyranny. He attacks you and he attacks me. Call me unchristian and focus on the family unchristian. Because he's trying to change the subject. The truth of the matter is he's the one that has got himself out on the end of a limb. With regard to you, Al, that just takes my breath away. What in the world do they expect from a Protestant? We're not called Protestants for nothing. That's Protestants is where the word came from.
Well, amen.
We have a different theology. What's wrong with that?
Well, as a matter of fact, I think that's essential for us to point out. And as an evangelical theologian, it's my responsibility to be clear about biblical truth and what we believe based upon the revelation of God in the Scripture.
But while you were on my broadcast a couple of weeks ago, You were really very generous to Pope John Paul II about the impact on morality and other things that he did.
Absolutely. And we are the ones who are fighting for former Attorney General William Pryor of Alabama, a very conservative Roman Catholic. We're the ones contending for his right to get a vote from the full Senate and to get confirmed to the federal judiciary. It's those who are trying to block him who are the true anti-Catholics. It's good we get these things out there in the public square, folks. Listen carefully. Look under the surface of these stories. When these people are this upset, their ox is gored. Let me tell you, they have been found out, and the more we talk about it, the healthier this country is going to be. We'll be right back with Dr. James Dobson. I'm Albert Mohler. Well, Justice Sunday is coming up in less than 48 hours now. It's a really important event because for far too long, evangelical Christians especially have been really asleep at the wheel when it comes to understanding our responsibility with the third branch of our government, the judiciary. And if we continue to be disconnected from that, we're going to continue to reap a harvest of the kind of decisions we have seen in the last several years. And with the issues on the table right now, we have right now in the pipeline to these courts issues as fundamental as marriage, life and death, and all the rest. With us on the program today is Dr. James Dobson, the founder and chairman of Focus on the Family, and he and I, along with Tony Perkins and Chuck Colson, are going to be participating in this event on Sunday night. And we're giving our time to this and our attention and, frankly, taking some heat out there in the public square because we think this is important. Dr. Dobson, when we look at the judiciary, why is it, do you think, that so many Christians just don't pay much attention?
You know, Christians are doing what Christians are supposed to do. They're working in their churches. They're raising their kids. They're trying to get them, into the hands of the Lord. They're trying to do so many things. And they're also hardworking people. And they just are not focused on what happens in Washington. And it's very easy for them to just be completely oblivious to what goes on there. I've often described evangelicals as being like people who don't like baseball, and they don't pay any attention at all to the games during the year, and then they tune into the World Series. And evangelicals tune in at election time, and then they go back to sleep. But the way it is today, there is such a struggle for the heart and soul of this country, and there's so much power in Washington that we cannot afford to tune out. And that's why I appreciate so much you, Al, and what you're doing with this program and participating in this Justice Sunday night event. I want to beg your listeners to go to their pastors and those who have churches large enough to have downlink dishes or webcams or whatever. I don't know. I don't understand the technology, but there are ways to get the feed from this. And there's going to be a huge response from the media. I understand there are 46 different media enterprises going to be there, Fox News, C-SPAN. It's something that Christians really ought to witness.
Well, you know, I really appreciate your answer because I think it's important. That, you know, on this program, our main concern is not politics, but we understand that the gospel has political consequences. And we also understand that our freedom even to preach the gospel and to talk about the gospel is largely in the hands of the courts. It's in the stewardship of judges. That's a frightening thought because The kind of legal thinking we've had coming out of the law schools, especially the elite law schools over the last quarter century or so, the kind of decisions, the kind of worldview and thinking reflected in the decisions we've been talking about, this is a direct undermining of everything we hold dear. And if it continues along this path, I'm not sure, and I don't mean to be alarmist here, but I'm not sure that we can count on even being able to have this conversation, you know, in the indefinite future if these judges are not brought in line.
Well, there in Canada, some of my radio programs can't be aired up there because it's already illegal. You talk about Romans 1, and the station up there will be censored for airing our program. And we talked earlier about the decisions of the courts, great moral decisions or immoral decisions, Roe v. Wade and Lawrence v. Texas and the Ninth Circuit out in California and the Pledge of Allegiance and so on. But it goes back before that. It goes back to 1962 or before, when they threw out prayer in schools and Bible reading in schools and prayer at graduation ceremonies and prayer at sporting events and the Ten Commandments posted on the wall. And, you know, on and on it goes through the Pledge of Allegiance. And that is only going to get worse unless we rein in this court. What is bothering me, Alan, I wonder if this is really getting to you too, is that if conservative Christians, evangelicals especially, have the temerity to speak on an issue that's being debated in the public square, particularly Washington, immediately they are said to be right-wing extremists. They're trying to force their views on it. I mean, every segment of the country has, by constitutional guarantee, the right to participate in this great representative form of government and to be heard and to influence the vote. There's nothing illegal about that. And I'm sick of these Democrats, and I'm not against everything the Democrats do, but in this regard, coming on and trying to intimidate the rest of us for expressing our views when homosexuals and feminists and abortionists and pornographers and gamblers and those that come from the left end of the spectrum can say anything they want with impunity.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the other side of that is that the majority is with us on so many of these issues. Every time one of these states has considered a constitutional amendment to identify marriage, of all things, as being a relationship between a man and a woman, it has passed overwhelmingly. Even in secular Oregon, it passed by double digits.
Yeah.
And the threat to these values, the threat to these convictions in terms of public policy is not coming from the people of the United States. It's coming from this very small elite of judges, especially those judges sitting on crucial appellate courts and the nation's high court. That's why what we're doing on Sunday is so important, I think.
And now they're talking about basing their decisions not on the Constitution, not on precedent, not on American opinion, not on the will of the people, not on the Congress, not on the president, but on international public opinion. And what they really mean by that is Western Europe. They're not talking about Latin America. They're not talking about Australia or Asia. They're talking about a small section of the liberal, civilized world in Western Europe. And they're going to base our law not on what our founding fathers said, but on what some left-wing people in Western Europe think ought to be.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we covered on this program the debate between Justices Breyer and Scalia, where Justice Scalia came back and accused his liberal colleagues of just shopping for whatever argument they want from whatever court they can find. He pointed out that they don't often go to the Pacific Rim for these precedents. They go to liberal Western Europe, and that is the very future this nation should look at and learn to fear. We will be as secularized and as liberal as those nations. Just look at the Dutch with euthanasia. Look at the euthanization of newborns in the Netherlands. Look at what we face in terms of the sexual revolution there, so far that the family's almost eliminated from many of those societies. My guest today has been Dr. James Dobson, founder and chairman of Focus on the Family. We'll be together on Sunday night for Justice Sunday. There's still time for you and your church to participate. I'll tell you about it when we come right back. Well, welcome back, folks. That was a real honor to have James Dobson as our guest today. You know, I hope you heard something in our conversation today. He is simply an incredibly kind person, and I think that's why so many Americans, especially Christians, have listened to him. I think that's why so many moms have learned to trust him, and why so many families have turned to him, because there is an incredible kindness in him. But that's tempered with a real commitment to truth, and you saw that, and real courage to take on these issues. He could be a very happy and comfortable man in terms of his personal life, if he didn't have to take all this on. And I'm honored to work with him. And it was great to have him on the program today, because we're talking about what really matters. Because long term in this country, just looking at the years ahead, I think it's clear, unless we get the judiciary worked out in this country, unless we get the right kind of judges on the bench, unless we do all that's necessary to fulfill our political responsibility here, then we're going to see a very different country. And yes, the gospel is not primarily about politics, not at all. The main issue of this ministry is to point persons to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only gospel that saves, and the gospel that isn't reduced to moralism or legislation or politics or anything else. But that same gospel is a truth claim with political responsibilities and with political implications, because we know on the basis of God's revealed truth why it is so important to protect human life, why it is so important to advocate for human dignity, why it is so important to recognize and respect the integrity of marriage. The big event on Sunday night is Justice Sunday. There's still time for you and your church to participate. You can go to the website of the Family Research Council. That is www.frc.org. You can also go to the website of Focus on the Family. That's just family.org. For more information, and we'll be keeping you updated on this, go to albertmohler.com. Albert Mohler, M-O-H-L-E-R.com. There you'll find my daily commentaries, including today the second part in the series, From Boy to Man, The Marks of Manhood. And you'll also see a blog updated several times a day, and you'll find a lot of interesting information about the very issues we've been discussing. Remember, tonight I appear on Hardball with Chris Matthews. Fascinating discussion, always lively on that program, and lively today. And that will be on at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, and will be replayed during the evening as well. And that's Hardball. And by the way, I was on over against Rabbi David Saperstein. It was a respectful discussion. Clearly, we disagree on major issues of importance, but it was the kind of discussion I think was worthwhile, and it was one of genuine respect. When we differ on these issues, we can do so with respect, but ladies and gentlemen, we must not be afraid to speak the truth. We must not be deterred from fulfilling our responsibility. That's what we're going to be talking about with fellow Christians on Sunday night. I'll be back on Monday to talk about it, and my guess is the coming week's going to give us plenty to talk about. That's the way the world is, isn't it? May God bless you in the coming week. I'll meet you then.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows, Dr. Mohler's daily crosswalk commentary, and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.